Welcome to Take It With You. I was inspired in this workshop by, you know, that saying, you can't take it with you, which, you know, is about what happens when you leave this world. But, you know, I was thinking about that saying in reference to lessons, because I think a lot of people feel or think that they can't take it with them. They can't take the lesson with them, or we think that we're taking the lesson with us, me, you, and then it fades, it disappears, it slips through our fingers. It becomes something that we can remember having, but that we can't get to, or someplace we remember being, but we forget how to get there. And those of you who know me know that this question, which I don't think is special to the Feldenkrais method, right? This question about the transfer of learning is one that has, let's just say, captured my imagination and my heart. Because, you know, when you lose your learning and you remember that you have it, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, when people say it and they talk about it, it sounds like a lament, right? Like having lost a precious piece of jewelry or a hat or a notebook or something that meant a lot to you and you can't find it, but you remember how great it was. You know, and with some people, it's an annoyance, right? About how fickle learning is or how Swiss cheese their brain is. I think the first thing we have to say is that forgetting is a part of learning. And so, you know, when you don't remember something, it means you don't know it yet. It isn't yours yet. And sometimes, you know, it can happen instantly. You do a lesson and it's yours. And, you know, in a way, that's great. And in a way, it's too bad because it makes you impatient for the rest of the time, where learning takes time, where forgetting happens, where things get in the way or interfere with what you learned. So I think it's difficult to remember that in the moment of, you know, frustration or sadness or despair about your learning. But I think there's something natural or organic about it. Part of that is because the things we learned are really sticky. And they should be. I mean, what you learn should hang around for a while, because if it was unstable, if you could just learn, if what you already knew would disappear right away, you would watch Monty Python do the Ministry of Funny Walks, and then you'd be walking like that. So stability is an important thing. The continuity of a habit is really good. I mean, if anything, I'm here to be a champion for habits, to remind you how much we rely on them. I don't think we're really good at changing them, right? And I think the Feldenkrais method, among other approaches, certainly in other contexts, is a way of updating your habits, of updating the autopilot. But I want to go back to the first thing I said, which is about taking it with you. Because, you know, that word, the second one, it, is so darn vague. What does it mean? I mean, it, what does it mean? And, you know, we're talking about learning, and usually when we think about that word, we think about taking what we learned with us or forgetting what we learned. Because, you know, I mean, after a lesson that's meaningful, I mean, whether it's a painting lesson or a piano lesson or a Feldenkrais lesson, usually you remember the thing you learned. You don't remember a whole curriculum. It's like this. you know, it, that was the turning point. Everything pivoted around that. If I remember this, then my technique changes. If I know how to hold the onion, then I can chop really fast. If I remember that, then the chopping part takes care of itself. However, I would propose that there's another way to think about it, and to think about not the learning as a noun, but the activity of learning, the way of learning, the kind of learning that you engaged in, and taking that action of learning with you, the process, not the product. Right? And if you want to skip the rest of the workshop, that's what it's all about. Right? I mean, it's not just about, like, certainly getting something from the lesson, something that you remember that is crystallized, that just thinking about it makes things different, or excuse me, maybe you don't even have to think about it. It's just different. That's cool. Dr. Feldenkrais, Moshe Feldenkrais, the founder of this method that we're going to use today, you know, he talked about the method as learning to learn. You know, I think that's an interesting claim. I think it's a wild, audacious claim. You know, I think he failed in so many ways. Right? Because he couldn't make us, or I can't make you, or no one can make anyone else learn. I can't learn you nothing. And I can't learn you how to learn. Right, so that's you. So the question is, what is it that we can get from Moshe's methodology that we can take with us outside of the lessons? Now, and I want to go beyond the kind of simple, slow the heck down. Right, because slowing down is important. I've been enjoying a book called Work Clean, which is not about morality, but it's about mise en place. It's about how cooks prepare their kitchen. Well, I should say chefs prepare their kitchens, not cooks. It's a French word, but it's used all over the world. And it's just about preparing your space and preparing the ingredients and being ready to go. And in that, you know, the author talks about the importance of slowing down and noticing what you're doing in order to be able to change it. It's not unique to the Feldenkrais method. And it's important. But, you know, I said about this workshop that it would be kind of an advanced awareness through movement workshop. It would be about deepening your practice of awareness through movement. You know, usually when I teach a class, my aim is to convert, if you pardon the verb, to convert the participants into practitioners of the Feldenkrais method, right? To get them to take, not just to do a lesson, but to take the lessons with them, to make it a practice that they use. Because that's what it is for me. It's, you know, this is a practice. It's a practice about keeping up with my body through its ongoing changes. It's a practice about updating my habits. And it's also about investigating how I'm learning, how I go about learning. So we will do awareness through movement lessons. The framework, though, what I'm asking you to consider, right, is how do you think about your own learning? How does Feldenkrais, how will these lessons help you be a better learner? And here, learning is an action. It's something that you do. It's something that you engage in. And I think that to get the full potential of the method, it means to do these lessons to improve how you move, you know, move better and feel better. And but here I'm thinking about reasoning, and I'm saying reasoning rather than thinking better, because because you reason with your, you know, with your feelings, with the images that you make, with the way you dance. I mean, reasoning, you can reason, I think, in the domain of feeling and in the domain of sensation and in the domain of action as well as in thinking. I don't know about you. I certainly think better when I'm walking. It makes it hard to take notes. But, you know, that's what friends are for. So, and anyways, these are the questions. And really, you know, Moshe said in I think it was the first day of the first training that he did in the United States, the first full-length teacher training. He said, "I'm going to be your last teacher." Right? Not because you're going to be so annoyed about learning that you will never go back to school, but because you can be your own teacher. And that's the underlying question here, right? Is can you take the things that happen in a class when someone's there to corral your attention, to remind you, to give you questions, hopefully, that are so interesting that they become your own questions, useful questions? But what about when you're on your own? You know, what carryover is there? And I don't mean, do you hear me asking those questions in your head? But how do you make what happens in the lesson? And they're the movements themselves, and they're, you know, I've been struggling for weeks, really, for what to call these things, you know. And when I was talking about the class and in the blogs that I've written, I've talked about them as tactics and strategies for learning. But really, I want to say, and this, I've been avoiding saying this. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I kind of felt embarrassed or was the wrong word, or I should come up with something better. But they are, well, they're learning skills. But when you don't know something, what do you have? What you have, well, either you have a problem. Either you don't have a problem, you don't know, and then you run into a problem. But, you know, learning is what you get when you don't get what you want. When you want doesn't happen. So I think these are problem-solving skills. Actually, some of them are problem-noticing skills. Not the big problems, or not the run into the wall, but what's the first hint of hardship? Right? Where's the first moment where something gets a little more difficult? Or it becomes a little bit uphill. Noticing those changes in the quality of the movement, for instance, or in the direction you're going one way and you veer off. You know, it's like you ask someone a question and they don't answer it, right? Each of these are a hint that something's going on. Something's going on that we could improve. Not because we have to use the method when we're in trouble, when we're hurt, or when there's a neurological problem or an emotional one. But when we want to get better, how do you know what to get better at? Well, the first thing is you have to notice where there's a touch of difficulty. And then if you take that as a problem, I don't mean a big problem, like you got a problem for life, but as an interesting problem, as a question worth asking, something worth exploring. What do you do then? And there, I think we have a whole, you know, panoply, a basket, a quiver, however you want to think about it, a huge supply of ways that we approach problems, make them non-problems, but be able to move beyond that place to be able to change something for the better. So that's what I'm interested in investigating together. So we're going to do that in the context of the ATMs, of a awareness through movement lessons that we'll do over the next few days. And then I will give you some ideas maybe about how to take some of that with you and play with it. And since we'll be back together again tomorrow, I do have, by international decree, the right to give you homework since we have a second class. So I will give you a few things to do or to play with. Just a few, nothing burdensome. Anyways, that's the plan for the day and the next day. You know, if it were a sandwich, right, it would not be a little dainty cucumber sandwich. It would be what is known in the business as a Dagwood. You know, one that's so big, it might be difficult to get your head around, your mouth over. Anyway, I think that's okay, because you don't have to get it all at once. Learning happens on a lot of levels. You know, and sometimes you don't, it'll take, it's like you have a discussion with somebody and you walk out the door and then you think of what you should have said. And so sometimes it's that with a lesson. You get it later, right afterwards, or when you wake up the next day. And it, you know, somebody once said to me in a group, actually said, you know, I got a lesson from you the other day. And it was kind of like, it wasn't like, you know, like usually at the end of a hands-on lesson, I feel so different. And I was just like, And I was kind of annoyed. And I thought, should I say something to you? And I went home and it's kind of bugged me all night. And I stopped thinking about it. And I woke up in the morning and I felt great. And I thought, my, I haven't felt this good in a long time. And then I went, oh, I had a lesson yesterday. So give yourself, you know, some time for that to happen and allow learning to happen to what you remembered that you heard. And what you don't remember that you heard, but you heard anyways. And the things that you did that made sense and the ones that don't make sense yet. All right. I also think it's good to give you some idea of where we're going. I think we have a better chance of getting there. You'll find your own path. We'll find our paths together. You might find some on your own. And we could talk about that. I think at the beginning of a class or a lesson, how do I help each of the students get to the place where they can learn, where they're open to it, where they're ready for it? I think the secret ingredient is curiosity. And my aim in telling you the things I told you was to inspire some curiosity. It wasn't a shopping list. You don't have to check it off at the end and see if you got everything. Right? It's important to have some idea of what you think is valuable for you. Just one question. That's a good place to start anyways. One question at a time. All right. So we will be doing these lessons in different positions. Some of them will be easier than others. Unfortunately, my ability to know what's going to be difficult for you, unless I know you really well, and some of you I do, is just, you know, it's different moments are challenging for different people. The moment that's challenging for you is something worth noting. Right? Because that's also something you want to think about later. What is it? Where does your difficulty come from? That's a place where a lot of learning has yet to occur. Or maybe just a little bit. You never know what's going to make the biggest difference. But that's your growing edge. I figure it's good to know that. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful because it's annoying or annoyingly familiar or annoyingly frustrating or whatever. But that's okay. It's your friend. Anyways, it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to be there. So hopefully, one of these, maybe problem solving isn't right, problem dissolving, you know, I don't know, we'll find out. Before we start, does anybody have a burning question or need a clarification? Anything that I said? You can also raise your hand and I have the power to unmute you if you would like to say something. No. All right, well, we'll have time for a conversation later. So before we start, or if you're already there, that's fine. If you're going to lie down at the beginning, we're going to start lying down and then something will happen soon after. I'm just warning you. It'd be nice if you aim the camera in your direction so I can see you. The recording of the video here is not going to be used for anything. Not even for my entertainment pleasure. You know, it's just so I can see you here, and I'm recording right now so that the audio is recorded. All right, so I'll give you a moment and I'm gonna stop and start the recording.